Mail Order Bride, Frontier Sister, Clean and Wholesome Historical Romance, Women's Fiction New Adult, Wedding Frontier, written by Angela K. West, narrated by Brooke Taylor. Frontier Sister. Sybil Corrigan looked around at the train station in Green River City, Wyoming Territory. What was she thinking coming here? This place was dismal and small, and from her sister Fanny's letters, she knew her eventual destination, Marsh Creek, population 107 to 108, including her, she supposed, would be even worse. How had she let Fanny talk her into this? A year and a half ago, Fanny had made the same trip across the continent to marry a man she'd never met, save through his letters. All of her notes back home gushed about Marsh Creek and her handsome surgeon husband, Ben Stewart. Here Sybil stood, betrothed to Ben's brother Adam, who she'd traded letters with and seen a likeness of, but never met. Fanny said he was a wonderful man, friendly, earnest, and excited to start a family. The idea of it terrified Sybil, but she needed to get away from the apartment she shared with her family in New York. After a terrible fight with her father, staying there and dedicating her whole life to caring for him and her three sisters wasn't an option anymore. So here she was, a reluctant bride-to-be. The train pulled away from the station, steaming west, into mountains unlike anything she'd ever seen before. In her letters, Fanny had told her the mountains were like the tall buildings in New York City, but Sybil didn't think that was the case at all. She desperately wanted to be back home, in the cramped flat, tucked in with her sisters and her father.
Miss Corrigan?
The man standing before her was an honest-to-God cowboy. He wore the boots, the hat, the denim trousers, and a button-down checked shirt. Sybil gaped at him, cleared her throat, and said, "Yes." The cowboy's face split into a grin. He was handsome, just like Fanny told her.
"I'm Adam, Adam Stewart. So nice to meet you."
He stuck out his hand and Sybil shook it, giving a tentative little squeeze.
"You're the damn spitting image of your sister."
Sybil felt her cheeks color from his language. "Thank you," she said.
"Let me help with your things. You didn't bring much, did you?"
She didn't have much to bring. Unlike Fanny, she'd never been married before coming west, and never had her own household. She knew how to cook and how to clean, because she'd kept her father's house for years, but none of it was hers. She'd only ever really owned the clothes on her back, and most of those were cast-offs from Fanny. Adam took her suitcase and walked her to the waiting wagon.
"I've been waiting for you, all excited to meet you. I don't know where to begin. I can't believe you're finally here."
Sybil smiled, unsure of what to say. How did Fanny do it when she met Ben? "I'm excited to be here," she lied. "It's all so different, though. I've never been anywhere like this before."
"You'll get used to it. Fanny loves it here now. She was a little bothered by it when she first got here, too."
He helped her up, and she sat demurely in the seat, waiting for him to take his place beside her. He did, and urged the horses onward. She'd never heard quiet like this in her life. Never breathed air this fresh and clean. Each smell here stood out to stark relief, unlike home, where the scents and sounds all muddied together. Her head spun, and she realized Adam was speaking to her. "I'm sorry."
"I was just saying we're going to stay at a hotel here in town tonight, then head up to Marsh Creek in the morning."
"Oh," Sybil replied. "That sounds nice." She'd never stayed in a hotel before. She thought she was so worldly coming from the city, but really, her family hadn't had a lot of money to do, well, anything, nothing but work. Adam told her about the house he'd built the year before, when Fanny first moved in with Ben.
"I have been living with him for years, but I knew they didn't want me underfoot, so I built the new place."
Only one bedroom because he wanted to get it up quick, but he had some ideas about where to add on when the kids came. The sound of that stabbed fear through Sybil's heart. She hadn't even really said yes yet. She'd moved here, yes, and so far she liked Adam, but he was talking about having babies together like it was a done deal. She watched him as he drove, curious about the way he held himself and the way he spoke. The idea that once they were married, he would be the last person she saw before bed every night and the first person she saw every morning swam in her head. She wasn't ready for it. That was all right. Fanny had told her how when she'd moved here, she'd stayed with a neighbor until she and Ben decided they were a good match after all. Sybil told herself it would be okay. They pulled up outside the little hotel, and Adam spoke.
There was only one room available, so I kind of told them we were already married.
Already married? Sharing a room? She gaped at him. That kind of thing was unseemly. His shoulder slumped.
I can sleep on the floor if you like.
It wasn't right. Fanny warned her things were lax here, but this? Adam sighed.
Or I can sleep in the barn.
Yes, I think that would be best. When will I see Fanny?
She and Ben will be there tomorrow to meet us in Marsh Creek. You seem tired. Let's get you up to your room.
He avoided eye contact with her, and the air between them suddenly felt tense. Sybil couldn't believe he seemed frustrated with her after proposing they indecently share a room. Yes, I think that's best, she said. Alone in her room, Sybil wept. What had she done by coming here? The drive to Marsh Creek the next day was a long one, and Sybil kept her eyes on the scenery passing by. Adam tried to engage her in conversation a few times. Sybil knew she was being most unpleasant, but she couldn't shake the feeling she'd made the wrong decision. But what was her other option? Go home to New York and face her father? He called her a fool and much worse for coming out here, and called Fanny a fool too, although it was obvious she was head over heels in love with Benjamin. Sybil stole a glance at the man next to her, focused on driving the wagon. Could she ever love him? Wanting to spend the night together outside of God's wedlock? She suspected not, but she had to make it work. She didn't have a choice. After what felt like an eternity, they arrived at the house. Another wagon sat out front, and Fanny and Benjamin stood outside to welcome her, a tan dog at their feet. As soon as the wagon stopped, Sybil saw herself down and ran to her sister's arms.
How was your trip?
Sybil, what on earth is wrong?
It shook her to see Fanny dressed so plainly. All of it shook her. She wanted to wake up from this bad dream. Instead, she swallowed her grief. My trip was fine, thank you. Fanny introduced her to Benjamin, and while she acted kindly, Sybil could tell Fanny knew something was wrong, and she seemed annoyed. Ben went with Adam to put the horses away, leaving the two sisters alone. I can't do it, Sybil cried.
What are you talking about?
This place. I can't. I need to go home. Fanny sighed and took her by the shoulders. She sat Sybil down at her very own kitchen table in her very own kitchen. The house wasn't large by any means, but the apartment she'd shared in New York with her father and three sisters would have fit in just this room.
It's very different here. There's a lot to get used to. I'm here for you. Adam is here for you. Ben and our friends the Warrens are here for you. It'll be all right.
Sybil clung to her sister until Fanny and Benjamin left. They lived almost 2 hours away from the remote farmhouse. When they left, everything was so silent. Then a monster cried out in the darkness. The tan dog, Chance, didn't even prick up her ears at the sound.
What was that?
Coyote,
Adam answered without looking up.
Sometimes we hear wolves, sometimes cougars. Those scream like a woman.
Now you're just trying to frighten me.
Everything seems to be frightening you.
He tried to get her to meet the horses. No, thank you. Once, Sybil's foot had been stepped on by one of the beasts. She'd always thought she was adventurous, but now she knew she wasn't. How wrong she'd been.
You want me to sleep in the barn again?
Sybil felt like Adam wasn't even trying to mask his distaste anymore. Unless there is a suitable second bedroom here in the house for you, Sybil said.
He sighed. I'd rather sleep in the barn.
Well, you enjoy that. Good night. He tipped his hat to her and left, followed by his dog. Now the silence around her was complete. He was to be her husband. She didn't have another option. She imagined her father's face if she showed up back on his doorstep. Kelsey would have to move back into Abigail's room. They'd gotten used to her absence. The house creaked and settled, smelling like new pine. It was a fine house, she had to admit. If she didn't marry Adam, she couldn't live here. When they'd exchanged letters, their agreement was a wedding soon. It felt like a prison sentence now that she'd met him. And it wasn't him. She was well aware it was all her. But whoever's fault it was, she didn't want to marry him. Sybil readied herself for bed. She didn't have to rush into anything. The bedroom upstairs had a huge bed with a feather mattress and warm quilts piled high on it. She was supposed to share this bed with Adam. The posts of the bed were carved and sanded smooth. She shut the door firmly, suddenly worried an intruder might come, or one of the coyotes from outside. Another sound rent the night, and even though Adam wasn't there to tell her, she knew it was a wolf this time. A deeper howl, haunting. She climbed into the bed where she did not sleep a wink. She did not want to spend another night alone in the house, but she did not want to marry Adam. Fanny. She'd have Fanny come to see her. She could stay a few days just until Sybil got settled. Sybil fell into a troubled sleep. Adam crawled into bed beside her. She welcomed him, kissed him even. He ran his hands up and down her body. Good heavens, it felt wonderful. She didn't care they weren't married. She just wanted to be close to him. Then she woke up in a dark bedroom, feeling flushed and embarrassed. At breakfast the next morning, she worried he'd be able to tell from looking at her face that she dreamt about him. He didn't seem to notice, and after breakfast he and the dog, his faithful Shadow, headed out to the barn. Ever a good sister, Fanny came to visit for a few days, and it was halfway through the afternoon when Sybil really studied her. She looked tired. Her hands played across her belly. She looked heavier than before. My goodness, Fanny, are you pregnant? Fanny nodded. Ben thinks I'll have the baby in November. Now Sybil felt even worse, taking this expectant mother away from her home. But having someone in the bed at night to sleep with made a world of difference. After the third day, Fanny cornered Sybil in the kitchen. You have to talk to him.
I do talk to him.
Sybil was an excellent cook, and she was very talented at keeping house. She made sure Adam was well-fed, and she mended every article of clothing he owned. The new house was spotless, and her woman's touch made it comfortable.
You don't. You hold him at arm's length.
I've known him 4 days.
Have you had a real conversation with him?
Of course.
What's Adam's favorite color?
Blue.
She had no idea. A lot of his shirts were blue, so it seemed like a good guess.
You're just guessing.
We didn't talk about colors.
Has he kissed you?
No.
Hugged you?
Of course not.
Try it. You know he's headed out on a cattle drive tonight.
On a what?
She'd known he was going somewhere, of course. At first he'd been apologetic it was coming so soon after her arrival. Now she was pretty sure he just wanted to get away from her. Fanny let out an exasperated cry.
Go. Now.
Talk to him. Learn about cattle drives. Listen to him.
I don't want to bother him.
Look, Fanny said, you need to give him a chance or go home. Those are your two options. Sybil opened her mouth, closed it again. Like a scolded teenager, she headed out to the barn. Adam sat on a three-legged stool in one of the stalls, working on a horse's hoof with a file. She came in unsure of what to say. Adam spoke instead, and as she found was the normal, when he did, it ignited anger in her.
Are you going back to New York?
His voice was gentle, but hard.
No, she said quickly.
Why not?
The question took her off guard, but she had a ready answer.
We have an agreement.
Adam chuckled.
My house is clean and I'm well fed, but I still feel like I haven't met you.
He paused.
I hope I haven't met you.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you're defensive and standoffish. Fanny tells me there's a nice lady under there somewhere, but I'm starting not to believe her. I built the house for us to live in together. I'm tired of sleeping in the barn.
I didn't come out here to fight, Sybil said. I came out so you can tell me about the cattle drive.
Adam recited some boring statistic about how many men, how many horses, how many head of cattle, and how many miles. He got up from his stool then and crossed the room to her. She took a timid step back. Her father had never allowed her suitors, and she'd never been this close to a man, certainly not unchaperoned before.
Look, Sybil, I'm headed out tonight. When I get back, one way or another, I'm sleeping in my bed.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means we're going to get married, which is looking increasingly unlikely, or you can go stay with Fanny and Ben until we can book a ticket back to New York.
The words felt like a slap, but they didn't prepare her for what came next. Adam swept her up in his arms and kissed her on the mouth. She froze, not knowing what to do, how to act, or how to respond. She remembered her dream, but she couldn't respond the way she did in her sleep. He finished with her, shook his head sadly, and left the barn. She'd almost liked it, if it hadn't been so sudden. If he hadn't seemed so angry at her. Now she found herself out here alone, with three horses, all of whom seemed to be watching her and judging. Within the hour, Adam was gone on his cattle drive, and Sybil had the house to herself for the next 3 weeks. Over the next few days, the nighttime sounds stopped bothering Sybil. The wolf and coyote howl started to sound like music, and they soothed her to sleep. She didn't miss the bustle and turn of New York City anymore. The only sound that continued to upset her were the catamounts. They didn't come often, but when they did, Sybil thought she listened to a woman screaming, a woman being brutally murdered out there in the wilderness. When she heard it, she would pull the covers up over her head and mash her hands into her ears. In these moments, she would have given anything for the sounds of her father snoring and wagons clattering out in the streets at all hours, drunken dockhands shouting to one another, anything to blot out those terrible sounds. Fanny and Ben came to visit on occasion, but they were cool toward her, even Fanny. Sybil felt Fanny was a terrible traitor, siding with Ben and his brother over her own flesh and blood. It didn't matter. Sybil kept the house up and made sure it was spotless always. She'd bought some patterns at the general store and worked at making her own dresses. She began a quilt for Fanny's baby. When she kept busy, she could pretend she wasn't achingly lonely. Her mind zeroed in on Adam, suggesting they share a bedroom. His kiss in the barn. It wasn't proper. It wasn't how her father had raised her. Was this how Ben wooed Fanny? Sybil certainly hoped not. Everything changed one evening when Ben rode into the yard at a dead gallop, skidding to a stop outside the porch. Sybil heard the commotion and went to the window in time to see him hurl himself off the horse. Something wrong with Fanny? With the baby? Sybil's heart plummeted. She didn't want to let him in. She didn't want to make it true. She didn't need to, as Ben saw himself in.
It's Adam.
Adam? Never in a million years had she expected that. Relief flooded her. Fanny was all right. What's happened?
His leg is broken, and it's serious. He's on his way back here. He's in rough shape. I don't know if he's going to be all right. The bone broke the skin, and there's some sepsis. He may lose the leg.
Sybil said nothing. Anger like she'd never seen bubbled up out of Ben.
Damn it, woman! You're either going to be here to help him, or I'm putting you on the next train east. It destroys me that you're living in my brother's house, eating his food, and you can't even give him the time of day. You're going to take care of him, or I'll see you out myself. No matter how much I love your sister, you sound like you take after your father.
With that, Ben left, riding off into the dusk as fast as he'd come. You take after your father. The words pained her. Her father was a surly man with a violent temper. He rarely took it out on his girls, but she'd known the wrath of his tongue and his strap more than she cared to admit. She didn't want to be like him, didn't want people to think of her like that. And what hurt the most was it had to come from Fanny. Sybil doused the lights and made her way up the wooden stairs to her bedroom and the big bed there. Adam, an invalid. He would not be able to climb the stairs. She'd forgotten to ask anything. How soon he would arrive? What she might need to take care of him? Ben would know, and Ben could help her get the bed down into the parlor. She nursed her sisters through a variety of ailments. Hot water, clean rags. If the leg was broken, it would have already been set by now, and that was more Ben's department than hers. When she'd first arrived in Marsh Creek, Adam had offered to teach her how to ride. Sybil had balked at this. Now it meant she was stuck here at the house until someone came for her, unless she walked the miles into town. Adam hired a boy to come and tend to the horses. Surely the boy could help her. Could she figure out how to saddle a horse and get to Fanny and Ben's? She cursed herself for not paying better attention, for putting herself in this situation.
Adam was a cowboy and spent long periods of time away, and it was foolish to sequester herself here all alone. In the morning, she went out into the barn. Three of the horses remained, and they blinked at her with wide brown eyes. To her surprise, the boy Adam hired wasn't in the barn. Instead, a little girl of about 10 was just finishing shoveling out the last stall. Sybil started at the sight of her. "What are you doing here? Where's Billy?"
"Billy had to help my pa, so they sent me to tend to the horses."
"I'm Abigail."
"Pleased to meet you, Abigail. I have a sister named Abigail."
"I thought you had a sister named Fanny."
Sybil explained it was her other sister, living back east. Surely this little creature wouldn't be able to teach her to ride, though she watched the girl shoveling manure and wondered. She'd ridden over here on a black and white pony, which stood off to one side, hitched to a post, watching them.
"I have to ride to my brother's house."
"They're your horses. Have at them."
"I don't know how."
"Don't know how? They are your horses, aren't they?"
They're Adam's horses."
"Ain't you gonna marry him?"
"No," she wanted to say. "I don't know yet. He's coming back tomorrow hurt real bad. If you're not gonna marry him, who will look after him?"
"I'm going to look after him and make sure his leg gets well again." "Can you teach me to ride?"
"I can try." "You're awful old for learning new things."
Sybil imagined how her father would have reacted to being spoken to like this by a girl. Then, Ben's words about her taking after him rang in her ears. The child was right, of course. Who would look after Adam? And she should have learned to ride when she had the chance, when she had time.
"I'm old, but not that old," Sybil said, forcing a smile.
"You don't know anything about riding a horse?"
Abigail asked. "Not the first thing, but I bet you can teach me."
"You'll have to pay us extra. Can you cook pies?"
"I'm very good at cooking pies."
"Okay, it's a deal."
They spend the morning learning the basics on Sally, a placid mare who, Abigail explained, used to be a plow horse. She got too old for that, and Eric in town didn't want to get rid of her. Adam agreed to take her even though she doesn't do much.
She's perfect.
If Sally could tell how scared Sybil was, she didn't let on. Sybil remembered Fanny's letter saying how she was scared of horses at first, and how she'd told Ben she could ride when really she'd only once sat side saddle and been led around Central Park. Well, when Adam came home, he'd see Sybil could ride. Then she remembered the kiss here in the barn, and her cheeks felt too warm. Sybil had ridden in the wagon to Ben and Fanny's, and she knew the way. Abigail bid her on her way, and she headed Sally north on Fremont Lake. Sally moved at a comfortable, plodded pace, perfect for Sybil. Fanny squealed and embraced her when she arrived.
"You came!"
"I have to get the house ready for Adam. He's really a good man. Please, give him a chance."
Sybil smiled and nodded, not voicing the opinion that she didn't have a choice. Ben thanked her for coming, and he and another man came back to Sybil's house and moved the bed into the parlor.
"I can't tell you exactly how to prep for him, because I haven't seen him yet, but I'll meet him at the train and bring him here, and by then I'll have a good idea of what we need to do."
Sybil could only nod and agree. The next day was an agony of waiting. She made Abigail her pie and realized she found Sally to be a great comfort. She brought carrots out to the mare and stroked her gentle gray nose. She could tell Sally anything, and the horse just listened and watched her with wide eyes. As darkness fell, Sybil found she was too uptight to do anything productive. So she waited in the barn with the horse, the big doors open, watching the road. The train came through in the morning and at night. If he'd come on the night train, they wouldn't be here until the next day. All the lights in the house blazed. She poured out everything to the horses, talking through how scared she was of her father, how Adam frightened her by proposing they share a bed in a room before marriage, how sometimes she dreamed of him, but she knew the reality couldn't be as wonderful as those dreams. His rough kiss. "I didn't come here a sure thing. I wasn't bought for the cost of my ticket. I need him to see that, but now, who knows what he'll see." Sally whickered like she understood. Outside, a sound. Hoof beats. The crunch of wagon wheels on the dirt road. Sybil's stomach knotted. What would she say to him?
Would he be angry with her, like he had been when he'd left? She kissed Sally on the nose and closed and fastened the barn doors. Smoothing her skirt, she went to meet the wagon. Eric drove, and Ben rode in the back with Adam and, of course, the tan dog. Sybil hovered on the porch as the team slowed and Ben jumped down. He helped to hoist his brother to the ground, supporting his right side. Adam carried a crutch and steadied himself.
"I'm good. I've got it," he told Ben.
Ben backed off, but not too far, ready to reach out and catch his brother if need be. Adam met Sybil's gaze, and she glanced down at the porch floor. Ben reached out to help him on the steps, but Adam shooed him off. He clomped up the three stairs slowly, and Sybil could see the strain on his face, beads of perspiration on his forehead. He wasn't a well man. She met him at the top of the porch and took his crutch, offering herself to lean on. This he did accept, and while his weight was more than she'd anticipated, she felt good being here for him, finally. She helped him inside to sit on the edge of the bed. The dog curled herself in a tight ball on the side of the foot of the bed. Ben and Eric talked by the wagon.
"Sorry, Sybil. I'm not sleeping in the barn tonight."
He cracked a smile, but it looked like it hurt him to do so. "Hush. You'll sleep here in bed. I'll make sure you're comfortable and warm."
"I don't think that will be a problem."
Ben came in then.
"Complete bed rest. He can get up to use the chamber pot, but nothing else. At least 3 weeks of it."
"Oh, come on, I've got work to do."
When Ben spoke, he sounded more serious than Sybil had ever heard.
"If you don't follow my care to the letter, you'll never work again. You'll lose this leg. So do as I say, and we'll see how things are in 3 weeks. Understood?"
"Ben,
this is my profession, and I know how to treat a broken bone. Stay off of it for 3 weeks, and we'll talk. You'll probably have to stay in bed longer than that. Sybil will take care of you. I've ordered you some books at the general store. They will be here in a couple of days. I'll be back tomorrow to see how you're doing."
"Thanks," Adam said.
"I'm glad you're home."
Ben leaned over to give his brother a hug. Then Adam and Sybil were left alone.
"I learned how to ride," she said.
"On Sally?"
She nodded. "I'm not very good at it now, but maybe with practice?"
"Who taught you?"
"Abigail, the neighbor's girl."
"Ha! That kid can ride anything with four legs. You couldn't have asked for a better teacher."
"You look tired. Should I leave you?"
"No."
He spoke sharply and sounded afraid.
"No, thank you. I want someone near, a familiar face. It's been a long week since my injury. The guys on my ride left me at Dodge City, and I had to make my way back with no one but Chance to talk to. I want the company, if you don't mind, that is."
His words caught her off guard, and she sat back down on the edge of the bed.
I've never been that scared in my life," Adam said.
It must have been awful. She honestly didn't know anything about what he might have gone through. Maybe if she'd gotten to know him a little better and heard a little more about the cattle drives, she'd understand.
"I was out on the tail end of the herd catching up some stragglers. Cisco stepped in a gopher hole, and I heard her leg snap as she fell. For a horse, there's no coming back from that. No way to repair it, no way to heal her. Not out there, anyway. I had to shoot her."
Sybil gaped at him. "Shoot the horse?" She had been there long enough to notice Cisco, the roan mare, was Adam's favorite. When he spoke of her now, his mouth made a flat line and the blood left his lips.
"By that time, there was no one around. I mean, no one. No cattle. No people. Just scrub brush and nothing for miles and miles. Even Chance was gone. She'd been going after one of the cows, and I didn't realize I wasn't behind her. I managed to get my leg out from under the horse, and I think that's what messed it up the most."
Sybil couldn't imagine the scene he described. He locked eyes with a spot in the flat white wall. She wondered what he saw there, or what he imagined.
"I had my gun, and I had a good number of rounds, so I fired at the sky a few times, hoping Chance or some of the other guys from my ride would hear me and come looking. All I could do then was wait. It started to get dark. I started to think I'd never make it home again."
"What did you do?"
"I tried to crawl to some of the tumbleweeds, something so I could start a fire, but I blacked out from the pain. When I woke up, it was the middle of the night and I was shivering, but the stars overhead were more beautiful than anything I'd ever seen in my life, and Chance was with me. She'd found me in the night. No moon, just thousands of glittering stars. I knew then it would be all right. I didn't know what it would be, but I knew I would make it.
Sybil reached out and took his hand. He didn't take his gaze off the far wall, but squeezed her fingers.
It was the middle of the next morning when Jack and Paro found me. I shot my gun off a few more times, and they were looking for me, and they must have heard it. They had to build a litter to drag me. I couldn't get up and onto one of the horses. Being pulled along the ground might have been worse than laying alone in the desert. Every bump, every rock made my leg hurt like crazy.
Adam sat silent a moment, still contemplating the place in the wall.
I didn't think you'd be here when I got back. I didn't want to go up to Ben and Fanny's. Didn't want to be an extra burden on them with the baby coming. I knew they wouldn't have minded, would never have said anything against me, but it would have been hard.
She didn't know what to say, so she said nothing. The silence stretched on, uncomfortable, and Sybil battled with her brain as to how she could improve things. She was about to tell him she was going to start his dinner when he said,
"I'm glad you're here is all."
"I'm glad to be here. I'm sorry I haven't been easy. I'm sorry I haven't been what you're looking for." She couldn't bear to look at his handsome face. Shame pulled her gaze to the floor. "I'm going to get you some food. You must be starving."
"No, stay with me. I'm not hungry."
Ben warned her about this, though. "Your brother said I was to feed you no matter what you told me. I'm not going far, and I'll hear you if you ask for me." Sybil excused herself to the kitchen and began to cook, letting her mind get lost in the task. She'd never seen Adam like this, vulnerable. He'd always been so brash and cocky. Maybe there was a real person in there after all. She brought the plate of food into him, but found him asleep. She didn't want to wake him, but it was one of the main things Ben stressed. He couldn't get stronger if he didn't eat. Sybil thought about waking him with a kiss, but the very idea of it made her blush. Instead, she set his food on the side table and gently took his shoulder. She squeezed and said his name, and his blue eyes fluttered open.
"Smells delicious," he said.
She helped prop him up and set the plate on his lap.
"Tell me about what you did while I was gone."
She didn't talk about sitting alone each night, but she did tell him about coming to almost enjoy the coyote songs. They'd scared her so much when she first got here, but now they weren't so bad. Like music. One afternoon she'd gone for a walk and seen a few deer grazing by the bed of a stream. "It certainly is more beautiful here than the city. I miss my sisters and my friends, but the air smells so fresh. I didn't like it at first. It was confusing and almost sharp in my nose, but I think it agrees with me." Finally, she told him about making friends with Sally the horse. Adam laughed out loud.
"I almost didn't take her. I almost decided her time had come and she shouldn't be taking up space and horse feed. But then I looked at her and talked to her a bit, and I just fell in love. She's a great horse for a beginner, and I'm glad you're getting to know her. I'm double glad you didn't try to ride Jack. He can smell when someone's nervous and it freaks him out. Skittish and jumpy, that one."
Sybil cleaned up the dinner dishes, took a little food herself, and came back to sit with Adam some more. As the evening progressed into night, the idea she'd have to find a place for herself to sleep gnawed at her. She could go out in the barn, of course, like Adam had all those nights when she'd first arrived. But he was so much more equipped to do that than she was, and she didn't know if she could get any sleep with all the strange sounds out there. Plus, if Adam cried out in the night, she'd never hear him. She could sleep on the uncomfortable sofa here in the parlor, which was pushed off to one side. She'd be able to hear him, but she'd still be there, in the room with him, in her nightgown. Or she could share the large feather mattress. If they were to marry, it's where she would sleep every night for the rest of her life anyway. But this was the issue that had driven the wedge between them in the first place. She argued with herself that things were different now. She knew him, and he was wounded. He needed her. If she tried it, would he make a big deal of it? It would embarrass her if he did and send her running.
but running to where? No, she couldn't share the bed with him. She'd make do. Put some blankets down on the bedroom floor. She could camp out there and keep things proper. She read to him a bit from Robinson Crusoe, one of the books Ben had brought her. She'd worried the story of the man left alone on the island might ring too true to him after being left in the prairie overnight, but he didn't seem upset by it. She finished the third chapter, inserted her bookmark, and set the book down. "I'm going to bed." His shoulders drooped a little, but he didn't say anything. He'd been expecting her to stay with him, and she could see he was disappointed she wasn't going to. Not until they were man and wife, if they became man and wife. Flustered, she whispered, "Good night. Call if you need anything," and hurried up the stairs. As she left the room, she felt his eyes burning into the back of her dress. Well, so be it. She made up her meager little bed on the wooden floor. The room seemed so empty, and the little nest she'd made seemed so inadequate as she dozed the light. After tossing and turning, she realized it was impossible to get comfortable. So she lay staring at the ceiling, wondering if it was time to go home after all. How could she forever commit herself to this man she barely knew? What if he proved to be like her father? Fanny vouched for him, sure, but what if she was wrong? The only way Sybil knew she'd slept at all was because once again she dreamed of Adam kissing her, and she'd kissed him back, curving her body into his. In the dream, he wasn't wounded. He was whole again and healthy. The aftermath left her curled around herself, wishing she were brave enough to go to him. Downstairs, Adam was awake and reading. His tone was cool when he spoke to her, and she set about cooking his breakfast. It hadn't been like this last night. They'd actually seemed to enjoy one another. She asked herself what had changed, but she suspected she knew.
"Tell me about New York,"
he said as she handed him his breakfast dish. "What do you want to know?"
"Everything. What did you like about it so much?"
His use of the past tense bothered her. She still loved it, though it was hard to think about the dirty skyscrapers when the Rockies loomed large above her. There were people everywhere. Nothing was ever quiet or dull. "Where did you grow up?"
"When I was 8 and Ben was 12, we came here from outside Jefferson City. I don't remember much of back east. All my memories are here. I can't imagine what the kids do in the city. Where do they run? How do they play?"
"It's much nicer for children here, I agree."
"So why do you want to go back so badly?"
"I don't."
"Then why won't you let yourself be happy here? I catch you at it out of the corner of my eye. Then it's like you have to remind yourself to be stoic and miserable. When I saw you decided to stay with me, I thought maybe something changed. But I can see now it hasn't. Am I a fool for hoping this isn't the real you?"
She gaped at him. How dare he speak to her like that?
"The real me? Be happy. Enjoy something, anything. You could enjoy me, my company, if you'd let yourself."
"So you can kiss me again like in the born?
Would that be so bad?"
Sybil's face went red. "We're not married."
"There's no law against kissing before marriage."
"In God's eyes, there is."
"Why?"
"What do you mean, why?
What good reason does God have to get upset about a few kisses? People are cruel to one another."
Sybil thought of her father here. She couldn't help herself.
"People lie, and they steal, and they kill. What harm is a kiss?"
"It's a sin." Adam sighed.
"So marry me then."
She started to speak, but he interrupted her.
"No, don't tell me. You can't marry me because you don't know me. You don't know me because you won't let yourself. I appreciate how clean the house is, all the mending you've done, and the delicious food you cook me. But honestly, Sybil, I'd rather go back to being alone than living with a ghost."
"You asked me to come here, all the way across the country. I don't know anyone here."
"You have Fanny. She made the trip with no idea what to expect. I'm your brother-in-law. We're already family."
Now Sybil was mad. "You can't compare me to her. That's not fair. We are different people."
"It's also not fair to whine that you were dropped in, not knowing anyone. I need you to make your mind up sooner rather than later."
"You can't push me into this," she said.
"Then I'll push you away, but it's up to you, Sybil."
She stalked out of the house, taking the role he once had. At least he had the advantage of the dog to follow him when he went.
No one had ever spoken to her like that, not even her father. At least when her father chastised her, she knew it wasn't true. This cut to the quick because he was right. Marry him or go home. She didn't viably see a third option. She went to the barn where Sally waited for her. Cisco's stall stood empty, and as Sybil stroked her horse's nose, she wondered how hard it had been for Adam to shoot the horse. Compassion for him flooded her. Even now she'd fed him, but what else might he need? Was he lying in bed, needing something she was supposed to supply? Was she failing him right this second? The idea humbled her. Whether she married Adam or not, she told Ben she would help him. "I should go back, shouldn't I?" she asked Sally. The horse didn't answer, but looking into her warm brown eyes, Sybil knew she had to tend to him. A little voice asked, "What if I just marry him?" A louder voice shushed her. She'd be doing a duty, that was all.
"I'm sorry I raised my voice," Adam said. "I'm in a rather lot of pain this morning, and I got testy."
The poor man. Of course he was in pain. "I'm sorry, too. Shall I read to you?"
"Why don't you help me get comfortable? The pillows are all bunched up and I can't quite reach them."
She leaned in and helped him, aware of how close they were. If he were an unattractive man, she wouldn't be conflicted. Like Ben showed her, she cleaned his bandages, talking about Sally and plans for riding before the snow came.
"I think you'll like it here in the winter. The snow comes. Snow like you've never imagined back east, and everything gets so quiet. It's the most peaceful sensation in the world. Did you ever make a snow angel?"
"A what?" He laughed.
"A snow angel. They have snow in New York City, right?"
They did, of course, but she didn't remember ever playing in it.
"You lie down in the snow and move your arms and legs. The impression in the snow looks just like an angel. The arms make the wings and your legs make the dress. How about sledding? Ever been sledding?"
She shook her head. Part of her wanted these things very badly. The idea of coming in from the cold, from playing in the snow, and settling in before the fire appealed to her, but only when Adam was there in her imagination, too. She realized she was holding her breath and let it out. "We didn't have much time for play when I grew up. Fanny's older, and Mother was still alive when she was a little girl. Mother died and Fanny left home, and I had to take care of the younger girls. I was always so jealous of her. Colin was so handsome and such a passionate man, and then she found Ben." She expected Adam to say something, to suggest she could have these things too. Instead, he said,
"That must have been hard. It was just Ben and me. I bet he would understand some of the things you went through. It was up to him to take care of me a lot of the time, too."
He paused a moment.
"I'm going to walk again, and ride. I'll be back to normal in no time, I promise you that."
"Then we'd better get your dressing cleaned," she smiled. It looked better than the day before. Nothing inflamed, no pus. Sybil hoped this meant he was truly starting to mend. They couldn't see, of course, what the bone was doing. The splint kept it tight, so as best Ben could tell, it wasn't healing crooked. Ben said Adam was lucky that Ben didn't have to re-break it to set it properly. The day passed, and Sybil found herself enjoying Adam's company. They played a few games of checkers, read a while, and talked. While she fixed dinner, he dozed, once crying out in his sleep. Sybil appeared in the doorway, unsure if she should wake him. He twitched, let out a little moan, but then his face relaxed, and he seemed to drift off again to better dreams. The sun set, and as the evening progressed, she read to him from Robin Crusoe. She sat close to him on the bed. He liked having her close. She could tell. As she read and the hour grew later, Adam fell asleep. Sybil set down the book and stood up, careful not to disrupt the sleeping man. She crept upstairs and changed into her nightdress. She did her evening chores and came down the stairs as silently as she'd gone up them. She paused in the parlor doorway and studied Adam's face. In sleep, the worry and pain of his injury melted away, and he looked almost like a boy. His chest rose and fell gently in the candlelight. Sybil extinguished the lights in the kitchen, then in the parlor. Dim light from outside cast a blue glow over everything, and she moved carefully to her side of the bed in the dark. She pulled the covers back and slipped into bed. She stayed as far from Adam as she could manage, hugging the edge.
She was afraid to move because she didn't want to disturb him. She started to think she'd made a terrible mistake, that she'd never possibly fall asleep. And the next thing she knew, it was morning. When she opened her eyes to the morning sun lighting up the butter-yellow walls of the parlor, it took her a moment to gather her bearings. This wasn't the room she'd become accustomed to, and there was a heavy, warm weight pressed against her, something draped across her chest. Adam lay cuddled against her, his arm wrapped around her. She froze, unsure of what to do. She didn't want to disturb him, but surely she shouldn't be laying here like this. As she lay in the morning sun, fretting about what to do, a certain calm washed over her. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She wasn't sinning. Her closeness clearly comforted Adam, and he was in such poor shape. Surely it couldn't hurt to make the poor man feel good by holding him. Someone might judge her if they saw, but there was no one here save for herself and Adam. No one ever had to know. It wasn't how her father thought, but she didn't see the harm in any of it. She'd been working herself up over this intimacy, but she realized now it was nothing but the fear of letting another person close. To help Adam get well again, she'd need to let him close. Because if she didn't, Ben was right. She might as well go back to New York. And if she wasn't going to leave, there wasn't any use postponing the wedding any longer. So, what if her marriage wasn't how it looked in her dreams? No union was a purely happy one. A few days ago, Fanny had been grousing about how Ben always took too long in the hot water, and when it came her turn, it was always lukewarm. Not all marriages were like the screaming one she'd heard through the walls of her tenement building. Hers could be better if she allowed her heart to be free. Terrified, she reminded herself to breathe, then snuggled in closer to him. She was sure the thudding of her pulse would awake him, but he made a little sound in his sleep and rested his head against her shoulder. They lay just so for a while longer before he woke up, blue eyes fluttering open. He didn't make a big deal of her sleeping in the bed with him. He made a little happy sound in the back of his throat and squeezed her close in a hug.
"Good morning."
The way he said it made her smile. He was right. It was a good morning. "To you, too." When she said her next words, she expected her voice to shake. It didn't. "Adam, I've decided I will marry you."
"Really?"
He sounded so happy, like a little boy.
"Please, not because I yelled yesterday. I was in pain and I was being unkind. I want you to stay because you like it here. Because you like me."
Moving across the country to Wyoming Territory felt like a bold step, but it paled in comparison to what she did next. She turned her head and found Adam's lips with her own. She caught him by surprise for a moment, but then he kissed her back, gentle and eager. He reached up and buried a hand in her hair. With the other, he gently touched her face. Instead of retreating, Sybil leaned into his touch. She parted her lips for him and found the pleasant sensations of the kiss only getting more powerful. When they broke apart, Adam said,
"Do you think the father can marry us today?"
"I hope so. We'll tell him you're a wounded man and it's your final wish." He smiled and kissed her again.
"Sybil, you're going to be the most beautiful bride Wyoming Territory has ever seen."
"I don't even have a dress."
"It won't matter. You'll have me and I'll have you."
He kissed her again and she was sure God wouldn't mind a few kisses, especially since they would be man and wife so soon. The end. This has been Mail Order Bride, Frontier Sister, Clean and Wholesome Historical Romance, Women's Fiction New Adult Wedding Frontier, written by Angela K. West, narrated by Brooke Taylor, copyright 2016 by Angela K. West, production copyright 2016 by Angela K. West.